And we enjoyed that time of fellowship and that time of swallowship. And it was a great, great time. And we had a great meeting last night over at Emmanuel with the young adults. And those of you praying for that, we appreciate that. All right, I want to just, again, thank you for being one of our supporting churches. We have 11 churches that support us and help us on our way as we have this international ministry. And basically, your support actually goes to help in our travel expenses, because most of the countries where I preach in can never afford to bring an evangelist to their nation. And so airline tickets and sometimes hotels we get ourselves and other areas of field expenses are what you're really helping us with. Last year alone, our airline tickets were $25,000. And so our support does not even reach that point, but it sure helps. It really helps. And you take a great edge off of that expense. And so it is true that Philippians 4:17 says that this fruit abounds to your account. And we do see hundreds and hundreds of people profess faith in Christ and our ministry. And all of that abounds to your account. And that's true. And when you get to the portals of glory and all these believers are there and they come to you and say, thank you for helping me come to Christ. And you say, well, when did I do that? It's when you supported and gave to the ministry of Central Mountains Baptist Church that gave then to our ministry, which funded our trips to these places. And so thank you, appreciate that very much. We have a presentation for you this morning that I just want to share. This is just a brief presentation. It includes several of the countries that we preach in. We preach in about 30 different countries, many of those regularly. And these are just a sampling of these countries that we preach in. So I'll be giving you a running commentary as we go through. And of course, Jonathan is our master technician. And he actually put this thing together. Believe it or not, at 12 years old, he knows abundant more about these things than I do. And so I'm glad he's with us. So let's just begin the presentation then. And we'll just talk to you about these things. All right. Now, this is military missions in Japan. When I preach in Japan, I just came from Japan. All of the churches I preach in Japan are for the U.S. military that are stationed there. And thousands of U.S. troops. Oh, my, what happened to him? But thousands of U.S. troops are there in the military station in Japan. So there's five different churches this time. Whoa, can you slow it down? And so we were just there. I preached in five different military churches. We had several military people saved, and in these military churches, there are some of them that have a Japanese church connected to the U.S. military church. And it's interesting that Japanese people will far rather go to a U.S. church than to even come to a church that has an American missionary who's trying to start a meeting with the Japanese, because they're very intrigued with American culture, and they come to these American churches that are established for the military, and there's all those Americans there, and they like to join in and try out their English and just be around Americans. It's very interesting. And so really the churches that are connected to military churches are sometimes larger than that American missionary who's been laboring there sometimes for years and years. And so it's an interesting phenomena when you think about it. And so when we go to Japan, though, it's American military. Of course, we were just there. Of course, you know about the tsunami. Many of the U.S. churches in Japan have done wonderful things in helping with the relief efforts of those in the area that was devastated by the earthquake and tsunami. Of course, you know about the nuclear situation there in the air. And so after 5 weeks there, if you turn out the lights, then I glow in the dark. Okay, so all that radiation I received, actually it was pretty safe. But I went through several aftershocks with the earthquakes. And those were very interesting. We're at a red light, and all of a sudden our car is just going up and down. And I'm saying to the American missionary I'm with there, is there something wrong with your vehicle? Because it's going up and down. It's like somebody on the back thing going like this on your car, and then all of a sudden all the light poles were swaying, and the electric lines are all swinging. He says, "Oh, that's what it is." And then one time I was in the bathtub having a nice soak, nice warm soak, you know, all of a sudden earthquake came, and I had a jacuzzi, you know, it got a free jacuzzi. But anyway, other times I was awakened 6:30 in the morning, and then one time at midnight I was awakened again. And if you've ever been on an airplane with turbulence, that's how it feels. And everything's just going all over the place. It was very interesting. And so pray for the people of Japan. And then again, we had one Japanese lady saved, and the rest that we had professed faith in Christ were U.S. military people. And then we move on to the Democratic Republic of Congo in Africa. I've had several trips there. I'm scheduled again there for January 2013, working with Dan Grings, a tremendous third-generation missionary. His grandfather, Dan Grings, is the second to the right there, yes. Very good. I didn't know you had a pointer. And so the Clancys are missionaries there as well. And then Robert Marsh is actually a missionary to South Africa, who is up there, who used to be a missionary here. I've scheduled with Robert Marsh there for January of 2012 in South Africa. But Dan Grings, their third-generation missionary, worth every penny anybody gives him for missions. His grandfather came over on the ship, was shipwrecked, and had to swim to shore, lost everything, and reached the shores of Africa with absolutely nothing but the clothes on his back. And then, of course, his father is Bob Grings, who's in his 80s and is still a missionary there. All right, so traveling in Congo is an interesting experience. Of course, notice what they're doing there. You know, white Americans, surely you must have some money to give us. That's, we're in the car right behind them, and, you know, going like this, and, hey, you know, can you give us something? And, of course, that's something they all like to do. All right, so moving on. Those are the roads of Africa, and we have a great time trying to get through. Many of the places we preach in are days' journey, by vehicle, by boat, to get where. Those are pastors. You wouldn't believe it, would you? In fact, those two guys are leaders in the whole association. We're talking about 1,000 churches, and Pastor Paulin and Pastor Ose, and they're both, I mean, high up leaders in these things, but they're silly. Not that guy. That guy on the left, though, he's very serious-minded. He would never do anything serious, like anything silly on the left there. But anyway, these are the dinners, the teas that we have there in the evening, African food, very interesting. I could tell you lots of stories about the foods we eat in Africa. We eat rats, field rats, that they set the field on fire. Nets are placed on the side of the fields. You set the field on fire, and all the rats come running out and get caught in the nets, and then we eat them. We eat jungle armadillos and the big fat white grubs that you get under logs. I didn't eat them, but they did. They offered them to me, but that was a bit much. Here we're at a pastor's conference. When I go to Africa, I do a lot of pastor's conferences. I used to do all evangelistic meetings, and then the older I got, they wanted me to start doing these conferences, and so I do a lot of conferences. There's Bob Grings and Pastor Paul in there. Here's the fishing nets. They're mending their nets. You have to carry a towel around with you like that because it's so hot in Africa. Africa is the hottest place I've ever been, and you just sweat like crazy. And so I carry a towel, and we're preaching away. Dan Grings is, of course, my interpreter. We have big open-air meetings in Congo. We go on top of the Land Rover here, and we have our Pastor Grings there. Dan Grings is interpreting for me there. And we just reach hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. This is a pastor's conference that we did way there in Dubai, way four days' journey from Kinshasa. And so dealing with Pat, here's another pastor's conference we did. These are the pastors and wives that were at that conference. That's the love offering. You know, they give offerings, but there is no cash flow in these places in Africa. There's no thing. They're not going to pass plates. They're going to bring all their peanuts and their produce and everything to the church for their offering. And they gave me two goats. for my time preaching there. So we took those goats back to Kinshasa and slew them there and ate that delicious goat meat. Goat, I love goat meat. I don't know about you, but it's very good, especially curried. And so this was a gathering. We trying to get gospel tracts there. Africa is an amazing place for evangelism. And here they're building a brand new Bible college, and we're going through the jungle to get to this land that we're going to build a Bible college. The Bible college used to be at a different place, but it was overrun by the rebels. And so we're building a new one here at Dubaya. And so we're going there to have a dedication. We're going to dedicate the land. And they had me pray a dedicatory prayer. So very spot there. Hello. The very spot that we're standing and praying on now has buildings on there. These are all of the converts. These are all who came to receive Christ as Savior at a big, big open-air meeting we had in a particular city. All those surrounding us are those that came forward for the invitation to receive Christ as Savior. I wish we had time to deal with every one of them individually. We got to this village. When an American missionary comes, you know, white men come to particular villages, some of these villages, the first time they've ever seen a Caucasian or a white person, first time they've ever had an evangelist visit there. So the whole town puts on a pageant to welcome us, whether they come to our meetings or not. But most of them are going to come to a big open-air meetings we have. But notice they're playing these elephant tusks as instruments. And they have a very, very eerie sound to them. But this is the welcoming committee when we first arrived in this village. Hello. And then we did another. This is the biggest pastor's conference I did while I was there. And it was also the elections. Every 4 years they have elections for this association. And you have to belong to an association in Congo. You cannot just have an independent Baptist church or whatever. You have to belong to an association. But they do allow you to have good, solid associations. So Dan Grings there is the actual leader of the whole association. And then this, there's his father, Bob Grings, 86 years old, still ministering there. In fact, he would ride his bicycle 200 kilometers to go preach a meeting. And finally, Dan told his dad, you know, we don't want you going 200 kilometers away on your bicycle anymore. You're just too old, and we're afraid we're going to find you in a ditch someplace. So he is now refraining from that. But you talk about a dedicated man. So again, this is preaching to the pastors conference, and Dan Grings interpreting. They speak Lingala, and I do not know Lingala, so I have to have a translator. They gave me this servant's towel for all the work we did there. Here's all the newly elected positions. This is Cambodia. Of course, we're dealing with Buddhists in Cambodia. We had 55 Buddhists receive Christ as Savior there while in Cambodia. And here I'm preaching a house Bible study. And it was Pastor Nable's birthday, the guy right there. And he is actually pastor of Bethany Baptist in Makati, Philippines, but he was there for our time. Here I'm preaching to a whole group of Buddhist people. Notice the Buddhist shrine right there. And so we trying to reach these people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They might be saved, and we did have some saved at this meeting right here. Gave him a little gift at the end. Here's a Buddhist man who came to me to thank me for preaching the gospel, because he received Christ that very day and was coming and was so thankful to hear the gospel and receive it. And this is preaching in Bethany Baptist Church in Phnom Penh. This is Panape, Micronesia, Federated States of Micronesia, located to right between Hawaii and the Philippines and Guam over there in that area. There are four states, but this is the state of Panape. And Panape is a tremendous island, beautiful island. I love preaching in this place. There are six independent Baptist churches that all come together, and I preach just a large campaign to all six churches and all the unsaved and everything. They invite to that big campaign. They build a big pavilion thing with bamboo and thatched roof, and we We preach to several hundred people every night because all six churches get together for that campaign. Again, a very beautiful island. A lot of things went on here in World War II. There are a lot of Japanese guns and things still up on those hills as they were routed out back in those days. There are ancient ruins there in Ponape from some ancient civilization that once inhabited the island. But every time I go to Ponape, and I've been there five times and scheduled for a sixth time, one of those six churches hosts the meeting. And this time when I was there, it was Pastor Rickson, Ambassador Baptist Church. Anybody's way. Okay. This is the old Japanese encampments that are up on the hills there in Ponape. When the Japanese invaded and took over the island in World War II, there's the Japanese guns, cannons, and they're still up on the hills there. They're just rusting away. They've been there since 1945. So all of these are the old remnants of World War II. Typical house there in Ponape. There's Zacchaeus up the tree. It's very beautiful people who need the gospel of the Lord. Pretty little gal, isn't she? Like people back in the States like to know the gas prices. That's a restaurant that you have a fan paddle for a menu. That's where we stay in Ponape usually. That's the radio station, the Christian radio station. There's Pastor Samuel Wellis, who's very well known there, Calvary Baptist Church on Ponape, which is probably the largest church and the most well-known. Many people know Pastor Wellis. He's kind of a legend in his own time. And Calvary Baptist Church, very simple structure, but the inside will hold probably 300-400 people. There's Pastor Sonny Paddock, also one of the pastors that has hosted our meeting before. They have the Calvary Christian Academy with 324 students. I always preach every morning to the Christian school there. We always have a lot of students saved. We did this past month. I was just in Ponape, in this five-month Pacific tour I'm doing right now, which Australia is part of. And then they have more rustic bush churches that I preach in as well. In fact, we had a couple of people saved right at that particular meeting. That's Pastor Rickson from Ambassador Baptist Church, where I just finished a month ago. Pastor Veracruz. I also preached in his church this past time. That's a young Jonathan with his teeth just coming back in from Ponape there. And young Pilot Jonathan, who handles our personal aircraft as we go to these meetings. Not really. This is Majuro in the Marshall Islands. I was just in Majuro again, Marshall Islands. These are countries that I repeatedly preach in. Here's shows you where Majuro is located, west of Hawaii. And you see Hawaii over there, and then Majuro, and then Majuro is its own country. It's Marshall Islands, but Majuro is the main island where the capital is. Majuro is a very long, skinny, shoestring island, but the whole island is populated like that. We were given the tsunami warning as it came from Japan. Notice there's no higher ground that you could have escaped to. And that tidal wave or that tsunami would have just gone right over that island had it been of any kind of size, but it was very, very minimal. So we were not affected by the tsunami. But the Marshall Islands is many, many what they call atolls. That's where I preach, Majuro Independent Baptist Church. They also have a Christian school. They used to have a radio station, so that's where the tower. That's Pastor Helmer Lang. great man of God, and we just have great meetings there. We had this last time I was just there 2 months ago or whatever. We had I believe it was 147 professions of faith just for that one meeting here in Majuro. That's the Christian school. That's just one side of it. So they have 310 students. Pastor Lang, and myself. That's what we wear to preach in. That's the and they always lavish you with these garlands and leis when you get there. Guam is a U.S. territory. It's not a state, but it's a U.S. territory. We always have great meetings on Guam. We have two supporting churches on Guam, Family Baptist and Freedom Baptist. There's a lovely bathing beauty. But anyway, there's a those people are really have hardened hearts. They need to get the gospel, but that's a joke. Statue of Liberty right there in Guam, isn't that something? Beautiful ocean island that very, very needy. The Guam, the nationals on Guam are called the Chamorro people. They speak a Chamorro language, although everybody knows English. Some good friends of ours on Guam, the Cutrights. What a cutie. Pastor J. Arseth was pastor of Family Baptist Church, which is the picture up there. Pastor Arseth has now resigned that church, and that church is looking for a pastor. Family Baptist in Guam, right here, they've been a year now without a pastor. And so the deacons are filling in and preaching and ministering and just waiting on God. They love me to give them. I have given them a couple names of candidates, but neither one of those worked out for them. But this is one of our supporting churches, Family Baptist in Guam. Lots of food and fellowship at the church there. They also have a camp. So we had a day camp there. Jonathan was very small. It's 2007, so you were much smaller, right? So we went to that day camp. And then Chuuk is also one of the states of Micronesia. We probably should have put Micronesia together and then Guam separate, Jonathan, when we redo this. But Chuuk is one of the four states of the Federated States of Micronesia. Ponape, Chuuk, Yap, and Corcyray are the four states of Federated States of Micronesia. That's where I lived. They took an old container and made a little prophet's chamber out of it. And that's where I stayed for the week I was there. That's Pastor Jody Colson, American missionary to Chuuk. And their choir and their people and their boat. But anyway, their boat takes us to other islands. And you can see the mangroves there. All the islands there are inhabited and very needy. So we're taking a trip to, what's the name of that island? But coconut water. I love coconut water. Have you ever had coconut water? Oh, I love it. And I'm trying to think of the name of this island, but we had great meetings on this island with several professions of faith preaching on this particular island, which is one of the islands of Chuuk. Those two men received Christ as their Savior that day. That was quite the boat ride. We got absolutely drenched with water, but everyone sits on the floor there. All of these people receiving Christ as Savior that day. And it was interesting, the pastor of this church had never been baptized. So Jody Colson is baptizing the pastor of this church. Can you imagine that? Pastoring a church and you've been saved but not yet scripturally baptized. And so we took care of that particular day. Here's all of the various homemade or handmade jewelry that is very prevalent in Micronesia. The Philippines is a tremendous place. We've had many, many meetings in the Philippines. I've been there many times. I'm going to the Philippines again from Australia. The last time I was in Australia, we went to the Philippines from Australia, back when we were here 3 years ago. And here I'm preaching a very large youth conference. This is just part of the people. I also preach a lot of different things. This was a youth outing we had. This is a couple years ago now. It's Pastor June Lokius and his wife Raquel. And so, can you just stop there for a minute? Can you hold that? What I love about the Philippines is the many opportunities you have. You preach in the public schools, you preach in the universities, you preach in the municipalities. The mayor of the city will come and say, we'd like you to preach to the whole municipality, which means all of the staff and secretaries, all of the council members, everybody there at the main government headquarters of that city. I preach to the police department, the fire department. We do a lot of open air meetings in the Philippines. We have many, many opportunities in the Philippines. Next to Africa are some of the most fruitful places that we go. And so at least twice a year now I've been going to the Philippines because there's so many opportunities. Now here we went to India. This was Grace and Jonathan's first trip to India. I've had several trips to India. And so we'll go through these quickly. But India, of course, dealing with Hinduism. And we always have some people say, but it's getting less and less and less as there's more and more persecution. Hindus are becoming very much more militant and antagonistic and persecuting believers there now. So it's becoming harder and harder to have the big open-air meetings that we used to have. But we have meetings in the local churches as we preach there. It's Pastor Shibu Simon, the state of Kerala, the southwestern tip of India. They were down in Trivandrum, the capital of Kerala, there on the Indian Ocean. And just some selected shots from the culture and the life of India. Rubber is the big export item. That's making rubber from rubber trees. You make it into the big sheets and you sell it to the rubber companies. Some of the people that we minister to. And here's just a list of some of the countries where we have been. We have many more now that we're scheduled in that are not listed here. We should probably add those, Jonathan. So these are several of the places where we minister. Did you see Australia there? Did you see it? Okay. And now here's the credits.